Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8. Lord Krishna reveals his universal form, the form in his mouth. Today's text is 25. Now we're using the Brahma Sangita meter, and today the sandhya is critical. If you don't use the sandhya, it's not going to work out. As I've said before, when you see the I, like Sringi is a word with an I, but when it changes to a Y, it means you have to run it into the next word, otherwise it doesn't work. If you say Sringi Agni Dangstri Asi, it's not going to work. It has to be Sringyagni Dangstri Asi. Okay? You have to do that, otherwise it's not going to work out. It's going to sound funny. Shringi Agni Dangstri Asi Jala Dvija Kantakebhya Krida Para Atichalo Sasuto Nishedhum Kriyani Kartum Api Yatra na tajjananyo shikata apatur alam manaso anavastam. Okay. Shingyagni dangstrasi jaladijak. I'm sorry. I'm using the wrong meter myself. It's Brahma Samhita. Shingyagni dangstrasi jaladijakanta kebhya. Krida paravati chalo sasuto nishedhum. Kriyani kartum apiyatra natajjananyau. Chekata apaturalang manaso navastam. Shingyagni dangstra sijala dvija kanta kebhya. Krida paravati chalo sasuto nishedhum. Kriyani kartum apiyatra natajjananyau. Shekata apaturalong manaso navastam. Shringyagni dangstra sijala dvija kanta kebhya. Krida paravati chalo satuto nishedhum. Kriyani kartum apiyatra natajjananyau. Shekata apaturalong manaso navastam. Please chant. Krida paravati chalo sasuto nishedhum. Krihyani kartum apiyatra nachajjananyo. Chekata apaturalang manaso navastam. Shringyagni dangstra sijala dvija kanta kebhya. Krida paravati chalau sasuto nishedhum. Krihyani kartum apiyatra natajjananyau. Shekata apaturalong manaso navastam. Shringyagne dang stressi jala dvija kanta kepya. Haribol, move the mouse. Haribol, move the mouse so that it stays on the screen. Now you have to scroll down. Okay. Wait, he's not finished. Go ahead, Prabhu. Krida paravati chalau sasutau nishedham. Krihyani kartum apiyatra nachajjananyau. Shekata apaturalang manaso navastam. Shingyagni dangsha sijala dvija kanta kepya. Krida paravati chalau sasuto nishedham. Krihyani kartum apiyatra natajnanyau. Shikata apaturalong manaso navastam. Vaishnavins. Shingyagni dang stressi jala dvija kanta kebhya. Krida paravati chalau sasato nishedham. Kriyani kartum apiyatra natajananyau. Shekata apaturalong manaso navastam. Shingyagni dangsha sijala dvija kanta kebhya. Krida paravati chalau sasutau nishedham. Krihyani kartum apiyatra natajjananyau. Shekata apaturalang manaso navastam. Okay, you can. Shingyagni dangsha sijala dvija kanta kebhya. Krida paravati chalau sasato nishedham. Krihyani kartum apiyatra natajjananyau. Shekata apaturalong manaso navastam. So, synonyms. Shringi. With the cows. Agni. Fire. Dangstri. Monkeys and dogs. Asi, swords. Jala, water. Dvija, birds. Kantakebhyaha, and thorns. Krida parau atichalau. The babies being too restless engaged in play. Sasutau, their own sons. Nishedhum, just to stop them. Grihyani, household duties. Kartum api, by executing. Yatra, when? Na, not. Tajananyau, their mothers. Rohini and Yashoda. Shekate, able. Apatuhu, obtained. Alam, indeed. Manasaha, of the mind. Anavastam, equilibrium. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. When Mother Yashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities, threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection, for this was aroused within their minds. Now, if we're listening attentively, that a bell should go off on that last sentence. It says, at that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection. So, I mean, I've read this so many times, and last night it just hit me. Wait, this can't be right. It must be maternal affection, not material. So I immediately got on the phone, called our BBT editor, Javita. And he totally agrees. He says, yes, for years he's always also thought this should be maternal affection, not material. Because Mother Yashoda is a pure devotee. There's no question of material affection for her. And she's in this mood of maternal anxiety for Krishna. But he said he brought it up with Jay Swami, and they looked at Prabhupada's manuscript, and they looked at everything they could, and they didn't find any concrete reason to change it, so they left it as material. But I still believe it should be maternal, not material. Anyway, so please repeat. When Mother Yashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection, for this was aroused within their minds. Srila Prabhupada's purport. All these pastimes of Krishna and the great enjoyment exhibited by the mothers are transcendental. Nothing about them is material. They are described in the Brahma Sanghita as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. In the spiritual world, there is anxiety, there is crying, and there are other feelings similar to those of the material world. But because the reality of these feelings is in the transcendental world, of which this world is only an imitation, Mother Yashoda and Rohini enjoyed them transcendentally. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Pasichadishtarne Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishivangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatam Mutam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Suvasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in one sense descends to this material world to put an end to the argument, the discussion about whether God exists or God does not exist. People are always arguing about that. Is there a God? Is there no God? Does God exist? Does God not exist? But here we see 5,000 years after Krishna's descent, after his manifestation of his transcendental pastimes here on this planet, people are still discussing, is there God? Is there not God? So should we conclude then that Krishna's mission was a failure? No, because in this world, as we know, there are three modes of material nature. And depending on the mode that you're in, your vision is going to be colored by that mode of nature. So if you're predominantly in the mode of ignorance, you're not going to see God. You're not going to see God. Or you're going to worship some manifestation that is greater than yourself, but it's not actually the supreme. As Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, some people worship ghosts and spirits, and therefore they go to the ghosts and spirits where they become haunted by them quite often. Others worship demigods, and therefore they go to the demigods. Yanti deva vrata devam prichi yanti prichi vrata. If you worship your forefathers, like in many cultures you still do, forefathers over everything else, therefore at the end, we assume they go to their forefathers, wherever they are. And because they don't perform the Shraddha ceremony, they don't offer Pinda, as is recommended in the Vedas, then their forefathers may not be in Prithvi Loka. They may be somewhere else. You see, normally in the Vedic culture, if the forefathers don't make it out of this material world, go back to the spiritual world, they go to the Prithvi Loka if they're pious, and their offspring, headed by the sons, are supposed to offer these oblations into the fire to maintain them in their position. And if they don't do that, then they fall from that position, and who knows what they become when they fall from Pitri Loka. It's stated in the scriptures. If the offspring don't maintain the forefathers in Pitri Loka by proper offerings, what do they become? Yamadutas. This is where the Yamadutas come from. If the forefathers are not maintained by sacrifice in their position in Pitri Loka, they become Yamadutas, and they become very angry. This is quite a drop to go from Pitri Loka to being a Yamaduta. So they become angry, and therefore they very zealously perform their duty of pulling souls out of their bodies and taking them for judgment before Yamaraj and sending them, generally speaking, most of them go to the hellish planets for rectification. But here again we have this beautiful picture manifested by the Supreme Lord Himself of His activities, what goes on in the spiritual world. Now, some of them, although they're philosophically inclined, they understand that this material world is not the summum bonum, it's not the be-all and end-all. It's obvious, especially nowadays we see in Kali Yuga, it's just getting worse out there. It's amazing how much pain people inflict on each other. And we understand it's because they inflict pain on the animals, and that pain has to be revisited on human society. So as we speak around the world, so many people are just vindictively and maliciously causing pain to other human beings. Like you go to a place like Syria. It's not that people are being imported from outside of Syria to put pain on the Syrians. They're doing it to themselves. If you're loyal to the dictator, right, then you're against the so-called rebels and you do everything to make their lives miserable. Your own countrymen. And vice versa. If you think this dictator, Assad, should go, then you do your best to get rid of him and those who are following him. So every day, on a daily basis, not just in Syria, all around the world, right here in Southern California, people are doing so many things to inflict pain on each other. So they make Maya's job easy. She doesn't have to do anything to keep us here. We keep ourselves here. We keep ourselves here by not being attracted to this beautiful scene that's being set. Krishna, Balaram in their childhood Leela, attracting the minds of Rohini and Yashoda and all the other residents of Vrindavan who are in whatever rasa they're in. Whether they're apparently in the neutrality, cows and trees and the water, or their dasya ras, servitorship, or their sakya ras, they're in friendship to Krishna and Balaram. You see so many pictures of when Agasura, Krishna is out with the boys and they come across a demon like that. Beautiful, beautiful scene. So why aren't we attracted? Or, I can't speak for you, why am I not attracted? Why are so many people not attracted? That's answered later on by Shukadev Goswami, by Parikshit Maharaj speaking to Shukadev Goswami, that famous verse. Nivritta tarishari upakhiyamanas Baboshanat Chochamanovarama Ka Utamashloka Gunana Varnat Puman Virajeta Bina Pashugna. So that last word is very important. He said, who will not be attracted to these beautiful pastimes of Krishna? Anyone who's Pashugna. Pashu means animal, gna means killer. So if you're a killer of animals, you won't be attracted. No matter how much you claim to love God and this and that, you're not going to be attracted to Krishna's pastimes. Because your heart is hard. You're hard-hearted. And a hard-hearted person cannot appreciate Krishna's pastimes. It's not possible. Or another translation of Pashugna means one who's killing oneself. Meaning that you're not taking voluntarily to the spiritual path. The recommended spiritual path, not some concocted spiritual path. So what is the recommended spiritual path for this age? Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Gatsiranyata. In this age of Kali, the iron age of quarrel, people fight over trifles, literally. Somebody will get killed over an iPod or an iPhone. People fight and kill each other over trifles. Or over just some idea. My idea is that Donald Trump is okay, and your idea is that Trump dumped Trump, and therefore we fight. You see? And so in this material world, as long as we're living on the mano retena, the chariot of the mind, we're running on this mental speculation, then we can never be happy. We can never be happy. We see, we're constantly just dreaming up different isms to replace the previous ism. Just like previously, monarchy was prominent all around the world. Again, why? It wasn't just in India or in Europe or everywhere around the world. The natural tendency is to elect a king. Even amongst the aborigines, there's one leader. You go to Africa, all of those African tribes and cultures, they had kings. In India, there were kings. In Europe, there were kings. Because the idea is that the king is supposed to be representative of Krishna, of God, to make sure that God's will is enforced, and then the people will become happy. But gradually, because the monarchs became degraded, people decided to get rid of monarchy. But because they speculated, they replaced it with something even worse, in most cases, in many if not most cases. For instance, you take a place like Russia. They had a king, Tsar, they call him. Same thing, same idea. There was a royal family, and they were the head of the royal family, the king was there. But because the people became fed up by not being happy under the Tsar, they banded together and got rid of him and replaced it with communism. And the idea of communism was that all the people are now ruling the country. But was that a fact? No. You still have one leader. You still have now one leader. Who is even worse than the Tsar? You try to get rid of Mr. Putin. See how far you get. You see? They had some opportunity to get rid of the Tsar. You don't have any opportunity practically against the leader of the Communist Party. And is he the same as any other person in the country? No. The idea again was that everybody was equal. Right? Everybody equal, and all the people are now going to rule themselves. But inevitably, you have one person that takes the post. That's just natural, Krishna's saying. These are natural tendencies. And if you have the wrong person, then your life becomes miserable. Just like under Mr. Putin. Now, you can't do whatever you want. You can't say whatever you want. People are not happy. Although some people say they're happy. But generally speaking, if you don't have a God-conscious leader, you cannot be happy. And then the other side, you had the capitalism. Money, 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 money. If you have everything you need to eat, and you have two cars in the garage, and you have a good job, and you'll be happy. That was the capitalistic dream. So has that been realized? No. No. Because again, naturally, a few rise to the top. As they say, the 1% has 99% of the wealth, and the 99% are scrambling to take whatever's left over. So people are not happy under this ism or that ism. Prabhupada said, we're not against communism. If you put Krishna in the center, then it's ideal. You're trying to put the state in the center. The state owns everything and the state rules everything. But generally speaking, it comes down to one man who runs everything and whose word everybody takes. Same thing in the capitalistic idea. You have one president. So Prabhupada said, we're not against or for this ism or that ism. You have to put Krishna in the center. So Krishna's pastimes are being displayed, displayed in more depth in the 10th canto, so we can put Krishna in the center. Now the materialistic philosophers, they can't accept this. No, again, you're saying this is a spiritual world, but again, there is cow dung and cow urine and mud and housework. Right? Mother Yashoda, you're seeing it, Rohini, they're doing housework, turning, and she's sweating. And what is this? How is this joyful? housework. I'm trying to get rid of housework. I get a job so I can hire a maid to do the housework. I don't want to do any housework. So how is this pleasant, doing housework? Yes, because Krishna is in the center. They're churning butter to feed Krishna. They're cleaning everything. It's stated in the third canto that even in the Vaikuntha realm, they're cleaning the marble in the palaces, even though Prabhupada says there, even though there's hardly any dust there. Why are they cleaning? For the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Mother Yashoda, Rohini, they're cleaning for the pleasure of Krishna. And they're cooking so many nice foodstuffs, as Prabhupada said on Sunday. He said, why are they eating this meat, 3,000 years old, and you don't even know where it comes from? Nasty. He said, you take milk, turn it into ghee, and put fruit and grains, and you can make so many hundreds of wonderful preparations. Of course, offer it to Krishna first. We're not just that because something is vegan or vegetarian, we can eat it. And we have to offer it to Krishna. I don't want to name any names, but I went to some function not so long ago. So many devotees were there. Hey, aren't you eating? No, I'm not eating. Why aren't you eating? It's all vegan. It's all vegan. That doesn't make it edible. You have to offer it to Krishna. And how can you offer it to Krishna if everybody else has already eaten it? So we have to be conscious like that. We are not just into eating. We're into eating Krishna prasadam. We're not vegetarians per se. We're Krishnatarians. And Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yogeshishasanakshanta Muchate Sarvakilbashai Punjate Tetakam Papam Yepachantyat Makarana. That the devotees of the Lord are relieved from all kinds of sinful reactions because they offer what they eat first in sacrifice. Those who eat only for the satisfaction of their tongue, whether it's vegan, vegetarian, whatever, verily eat only sin. This is Krishna speaking. This is God speaking. We're not making it up. So if we take Krishna's word, then we have to make sure that whatever we eat has been offered, which means it has to be offerable. Many times we've stated this. It has to be offerable. Not just that it's vegan, but to make an offering to Krishna means that it should be prepared for that purpose and not tasted by anybody else beforehand. That's the ideal situation. Now, one may find oneself in a less than ideal situation from time to time. That's it, but it should not become the norm. That just because it's vegan, I can buy it and eat it. And, you know, we have to offer it to Krishna. We have to be concerned like that. So here, Krishna Balaram, they're displaying these pastimes. And Rohini and Mother Yashoda, they're in maternal anxiety, not material anxiety. They're in maternal anxiety. So again, the materialistic philosopher, the Mayavadis, they think, anxiety, who wants anxiety? I'm trying to get away from anxiety. So their idea of spiritual perfection is no interaction, no relationships, no personality, just existing. Sat. But because we're living beings, we cannot stay in that mentality forever. Therefore, they fall down. Arura Krishna Parang Patam Tata Patanti Adha. They fall down from that position of imagined liberation. Yes, you may reach a Bhamardoti and you may stay there for some time, but because there's no interaction. And we all know we want interaction. Our natural tendency is to not only want interaction, but not just interact with objects, iPads and iPhones, but with personalities, with other people. We want to interact and get that interaction, that relationship. So if you take that natural tendency to its conclusion, to its nth degree, we want to interact with the Supreme Person. Because as we've experienced over and over again, interacting with anything less than that is not going to bring us the satisfaction that we want, and therefore we become frustrated. People invest their whole life into trying to make another ordinary conditioned soul happy, and it doesn't work. Prabhupada tells a story. Two elderly Indian gentlemen, they're having a conversation. They've been friends for life. So they're speaking. And then one friend notices that the other friend is very morose. He said, what's going on? Why are you so down? You have a nice wife, nice house, nice business, nice children. Why are you so down? The man said, because it's just dawned on me. For the last 4 decades, I'm trying to make this woman happy and she's not happy. You see? Or vice versa. The woman is trying to make the man happy. So this is the situation in the material world. We want relationship, we invest our energy into relationship, and in the end we're disappointed. Because another conditioned soul cannot make you happy. It's not possible. So we need to take that natural tendency, that desire to have relationship, to interact, and bring it to Krishna. So this is the situation that Yashoda and Rohini are in. They are on the perfect stage of interaction because they're interacting with Krishna as their primary object of interaction. So whatever anxiety they're feeling, whatever fearfulness they're feeling, is on Krishna's behalf, not on their own behalf. And it produces bliss, ananda. It's not like anxiety in the mature world where you're in danger of having a stroke, aneurysm popping in your brain. Because here, anxiety is debilitating. It gradually has a debilitative effect on our existence, on our bodies, gross and subtle. But on the spiritual platform, as explained very nicely in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami has explained that all of these feelings, fearfulness, pride, anxiety, these are all enhancing the different rasas. So if you're in this maternal mood, this Vatsalya ras, the anxiety that you feel for Krishna's safety enhances your bliss. So Yashoda and Rohini are not in danger of having a stroke. First of all, it's stated in the Nectar of Isha Upanishad that the spiritual body doesn't have any veins or anything like that. It's just pure spirit. So when we're on that platform of pure spiritual existence, there's no question of a stroke or heart attack or whatever. They're just feeling like that, and that feeling enhances the rasa. They become more blissful. Here, when we have separation from the so-called beloved of this world, it just produces negative feelings. But there, the Vipralama Sevas, the interaction of serving Krishna in separation, just produces sweeter and sweeter and ananda, bliss. The bliss becomes sweetened. So again, we should not mistake here, and Prabhupada clearly explains in that first sentence, that this is not material anxiety. Rohini and Yashoda are not feeling material anxiety. Their anxiety is on behalf of Krishna, and because of that, it simply increases their ananda, their bliss. So we can stop here for some discussion. Yes, and then the kirtan first, and then the kirtan first, and then Sachitana.
You said that the only process, recommended process in Kali Yuga is Harinam. So I heard in a couple classes that the demigods are waiting in line to take birth on earth to perform Sankirtan, but I've never read that anywhere. Do you have any reference to that? You heard that before?
Yeah, I've heard it said many times. You're right, I can't think of a particular statement that Prabhupada made, except that we know Chinye Punya Marti Loka Vishalam, that's from the Bhagavad Gita, that after many, many years of living on the demigod level, one comes down back to this earthly realm. And generally speaking, the soul comes down in the rain. The rain is absorbed by grain. The grain is eaten by the man. The soul is then put in the semen of the man, which is injected into the womb of the mother. So technically speaking, all demigods, if they don't go to higher levels of existence, they come back down to this earthly. So that's there anyway. They're coming anyway, most of them. Coming back to this plane of existence. Whether they're actually making it happen somehow rapidly or it's possible, I don't know. I don't have a definitive statement on that. But we know that they're aware, because they're very aware. They're much more aware than we are. They're aware of the potency of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Brahma himself has said that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Iti Pung Sarpata Vishnu Bhakti Sen Namalakshana. I'm thinking about the wrong word. What is that verse? The next one? Iti Shodashaka Namnam. Kali Kalma Shanashanam. Lord Brahma is aware of the power of this chanting of Hare Krishna. Iti Shod, these 16 syllables, Iti Shodashaka Namnam. Kali Kalma Shanashanam. They have the power to break the grip of this Kali Yuga. And the grip of Kali Yuga means meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. So this is the grip of Kali. So anybody who's engaging in those activities, they're fully under Kali's control. But the chanting of Hare Krishna can break that. If you look at all the Vedas, you won't find a better process for breaking the grip of Kali than chanting Hare Krishna. So the demigods are aware, beginning with Lord Brahma. They're aware of the potency of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they actually are lining up. I just don't have a definitive statement coming from Prabhupada that that's the case.
One more question. I heard in a seminar, I think it was by Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he was saying that the thing that's missing in the spiritual world are the baby pastimes of Krishna.
The baby pastime?
Yeah, they only happen on earth. So I was wondering, because you were describing that this pastime was happening in the spiritual world, but to my knowledge, this is actually an earthly pastime. Is that true?
That's not my understanding, no. Brohini, Yashoda, they're in the spiritual world. Krishna, all of his pastimes are eternal. He just manifests them sometimes on the material level, which means, again, the Balakrishna pastimes, the youthful pastimes, they're all existing in the spiritual world. They're existing here. What is not existing in the spiritual world, as clearly stated, is killing the demons. The Prabhupada says there are rumors of demons in Goloka, rumors, but there are no actual demons. There's no actual demon that comes out and is killed by Krishna in the spiritual world. They're just rumors of demons. But all those pastimes are eternally enacted, and they're just sometimes manifested in the material world. Goloka becomes Gokula Vrindavan, so we can see Krishna's pastimes. Yes. Sachi Tenoi Prabhu.
Thank you. We have seen that socialism, the capitalism and communism is not been working properly as we would like it to be. No happiness, no union. So the proposal is God, putting God, like you were saying. So someone can say also that Christianism, Islamism, Hinduism, and trying to put God in the center, our experience is about the same thing. Can you propose something better? Maybe you might say something that happened thousands of years ago, but in our experience we haven't seen actually that common ground in which, you know, putting God.
Well, we're not proposing Hinduism. As Prabhupada stated many times, there you won't find the word Hindu in the Vedas. So this is Sanatana Dharma. And we have historical references that the Sanatana Dharma does work. But unfortunately, everything in the material world, if it's not properly maintained, gradually deteriorates. So that Sanatana Dharma was not properly maintained since the last powerful king, right, Parikshit, left. Then after that, Kali came in and things deteriorated. But by purifying the consciousness of people, by this powerful method of chanting the holy names, they will again want proper leadership, proper government. Because, yes, now you can't force it on them. Again, Prabhupada said, even if you, some or other, put a devotee as the president, because the people are not themselves contaminated. They don't want a powerful leader. They don't want a God-conscious leader. They just want material sense gratification. And so the leaders promise them that. Yes, yeah, so you're like me, I'll get rid of all these programs that are holding you back, and I'll give you, as Mr. Trump is saying, I'll bring back work from overseas and this and that. They're simply thinking in terms of material situation. They're not thinking for their ultimate good. So in order to have a God-conscious leader who's effective, you have to educate the population. And therefore, this book distribution is so important. That's why we go out and see Srila Prabhupada's books. Because the more people read those books, I was out on, speaking of chanting and Harinam, I was with the party at the art walk last Thursday. And it's amazing how many people come up and they already have one or two books and they're reading them, they really love it. Just random people I would approach and, you know, like two guys about, I'd say, 40, mid-40s, walking around taking pictures. So, you know, I'm a photographer, so I engage him in a little photographer talk, and then I try to give him a book. He said, oh, yeah, you know, I know you sent her, and he actually took another book. He said, I have some, but I'll take this one, and like that. So the book's getting out there. Gradually, people become more and more pious, more and more intelligent. Prabhupada's books are actually meant for honing, for sharpening, first of all, our intelligence and anybody else that reads them. And then people can begin to discriminate, because the actual definition of the intelligence that Prabhupada uses is the ability to discriminate between matter and spirit and the source of both of them, meaning Krishna. So the more books we distribute, the more people become intelligent, the more they will demand God-conscious leaders. So book distribution, ki jai. Hari Nam Sankirtan, ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, ki jai. Hari Bhakta.